Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth Meehan. Joining me on the show, we have Durad Nick, Spike FIFO, and Shelton with the KC hat on. What's up with that?
He trying to throw bad juju on him.
Man, this throwback. I forgot. Man, I need to take this off. I forgot.
You forgot that your team was playing KC in the Super Bowl.
I did. I forgot. I just got throwback hats, man. I forgot. I just put on a hat. Whatever match.
You're making a statement. This is another example. You riding the fence. You gonna come over here and pick the Eagles and all this.
No, sir. Say,
well, I had a KC hat on.
No, not at all.
Well, as you guys can see by the title, we are here to definitely look ahead to the upcoming Super Bowl 56 and between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. But before we get into that, we will give you guys our individual MVP, Coach of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, and Rookie of the Year. All of that will be happening later in the show. But we did an instant reaction to it Sunday. The news broke Saturday, early Sunday morning, something like that. Depending on where you are, I think if it was on the West Coast, it was still Saturday. So we want to go back to the trade that took place between the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Lakers and see if we have any
hold on, I'm recording.
Thoughts since then. What?
Good. I had it on mute. Did I hit it?
You ain't hit shit, bro. All right, let them know though, Lou. You know what I'm saying? That remind me of Shelton when he was cussing out his kids.
That's what I was trying to get past. I was like, thank you, Lou.
But and Q will be joining us because later he said he's running about 10 late. But yeah, man, let's go back to the trade, see if we have any new thoughts, any new feelings on the situation. Obviously, Spike, you were not there, so we definitely want to get your take on the situation. So we'll look at this, and then we'll take a look at the Dallas because we didn't really get a chance to discuss how things look with Dallas. So out of the blue, a blockbuster trade happened on Saturday night that is expected to impact the balance of power in the Western Conference for years to come. The Los Angeles Lakers, Dallas Mavericks, and Utah Jazz completed a three-team trade that sends Luka Doncic to Los Angeles and Anthony Davis to Dallas. Lou, before I get into the question about this trade, what were your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the trade that sent Doncic to L.A.?
When I first seen it, I thought it was one of them tweets to Shelton or me sent over to the Dead End Sports. I was like, this can't be real. They didn't trade Luka. But once they confirmed it and figured out that it was real and your boy came back and said, no, this is true, it made sense that the Lakers were able to do this. Like, the Lakers pulled a superstar ever since I've been alive and even before then. Like, you go back to Will Chamberlain, Shaq, whoever it may be. Like, they always are able to keep this thing going. I was really surprised that it was Luka. I know at one point Mark Cuban was like, he would never let him go, but Mark Cuban don't own the Mavs no more. So that may say something to that.
And minority then, owner.
Minority owner. He don't make the decisions anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. So I thought it was interesting. The rumors that were coming out saying like Rob Pelinka was saying that he was overweight and they better get in front of it now. And Luka wasn't fitting in with Maverick culture. I thought about that time when Michael Finley, when Luka was popping a beer after they had won and just went to the finals, he came and took the drink from it. So it was just little bitty things. It was like, okay, this makes sense. on a larger macro scale, he didn't, because like, why would you get rid of Luka? But if they do, I could see him going to the Lakers, and I could see the Mavericks looking at it now. Like, I got AD and I got Kyrie. I might be able to pull it off again as long as AD stay healthy. So it was shocking at first, but looking at it longer, sitting with it, it was like, okay, I understand it. Maybe not from both sides. Maybe I wouldn't have did it if I was Dallas, but I get it.
Mm. Any credence to the possibility that this was a tank move by the Mavericks in order to get Casinos? I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't
think there's anything to that.
No,
I didn't see it. What happened?
I don't think it was a tank move. It was a lateral move, but I think it does have something to do with collusion. Dwayne Wade echoed those sentiments when he said that this is amazing from the standpoint, the business of the game. Luka was number six in jersey sales, now shoots number one in sales with the Lakers. Now in international market, they just signed a new TV deal. Let's throw it out there. They only negotiated with LA. It just doesn't make sense to him being traded. Makes no sense at all. Him being only negotiated a trade with LA makes even less sense. So
it makes sense from this perspective, though, Shelton. Nico Harrison and Rob Pelinka have been in cahoots for over a decade, right? Because we know Rob Pelinka, his claim to fame is he's Kobe Bryant's agent. And Nico Harrison was, you know what I'm saying? He multiple stints, whether it be through Nike, through other ventures, Nico Harrison has been there. So they have a relationship. And that's also how it didn't get, nobody knew about it. You know what I'm saying? You hear what Rob Pelinka says. It says that, you know, we dealt this in good faith, you know, that there was trust there that was built over time, which is the reason why it didn't come out. You know what I'm saying? So I get it from that perspective. And here's the thing, Ken, to answer the question, is this a tank move? It's not, because, you know, y'all kept grilling me.
Tank was the wrong word of choice. Okay. There. Yeah, it was more of collusion.
But yeah. Y'all was grilling me to say, like, are the Mavs a better basketball team overall? And, you know, obviously I had some more time to – everybody's had more time.
Well, we'll get to the Mavs side of it. So hold that thought. What about the Lakers? Because we're going to start with them first. Like, they have Luka. They have LeBron. They got Max Kleber. They got Markieff Morris. Like, how can the Lakers build around Luka and LeBron, or do you think – this is it for LeBron in LA? Do they move on from him?
This to me is the swan song for LeBron. The people, that's bullshit. All that shit you said too. This is the swan song for LeBron entering the Luka era. We talked about before how, like you said, somebody said Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain to Kareem to Magic. There's always going to be a to Shaq to Kobe. There's always going to be that one star, and he's going to be in L.A. You had to replace – right now the cupboard was bare. You had no picks to get anything to replace him. So what do? Hey, man, y'all will get the casino. You get whatever – either you get it here or we're going to move you to Vegas. That's the piece, and I believe that. I just believe in a couple of years you're going to see Dallas either getting what they want there or they're going to move into Vegas. They got something for this trade, because what they got wasn't a trade. But, yeah, Dallas to put it – plainly, I think you're seeing the swan song for LeBron, the introduction of Luka. It's Luka's team now. So we'll see how that plays out.
Luka's team?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's Luka's team.
I would lean with that, because at this point, Luka's better than LeBron. Shit. At least moving
y'all
forward.
Y'all crazy. Y'all think that.
I'm saying, like, the Lakers are seeing this as Luka's team. Like, this ain't LeBron's team.
Moving forward, but not right now. Y'all think that, like, as soon as Luka gets to the court, this Luka team?
I'll say this, Ken. As soon as after this season, I think LeBron's gone. I think he's gonna move on. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is Luka's team. Like, yeah, you still got your name on the deed or whatever, but like,
why do you think LeBron is gone after this season?
Because I just don't see how they really can play together, and I don't see them really, even if they can figure that part out, I don't see them getting enough talent to truly compete. Because at this point, if LeBron's not really competing, what is he there for? You know what I'm saying? Especially since they moved out the dude that he won a title with when he the whole point of him going there was to bring AD to win a title. They did that. But with Luka, I don't see that happening.
But we saw Luka and we questioned Luka and Kyrie, and they made it all the way to the finals. Like, what is the difference with LeBron?
Look at that team.
Wait, hold on now. Look at that team. It was Kyrie, the big man that could play defense, and Luka. The offense was Luka and Kyrie. That was it. That was
You have to mention when LeBron has gone to the finals with ball dominant guards and Kyrie in Cleveland and with D Wade in Miami. Even more so now at this stage in his career, he looking to be like, should I take the night off?
I think y'all
let Luka do his thing.
I think y'all really overestimated either the bench of the Lakers or underestimated the bench of Dallas when they went on that finals run, because PJ Washington, there was a couple other players that I can't name right now because it's Dallas and I could give a fuck. But there was like, when you watch that, like, that run they made to the finals, but a lot of people stepped up, a lot of people were like impact players that I do not see on the Lakers, Nick, especially on the defensive end.
Nick, it was PJ Washington against Minnesota, could not miss. Mm-hmm. And then with Kyrie.
But the Oklahoma City series, brother, he showed up then too.
Like, I know. I think, they were hot. But what happened to PJ? What am I right? Mm-hmm. PJ Washington? Mm-hmm. All them jokers went back to normal when they got to the finals. Mm-hmm. Even Kyrie.
That's because they ran up against we already know Boston, even going into that finals, was like, everybody knew Boston was going to win win the title. We were shocked that they wouldn't have won the title.
Well, first of all, not everybody picked Boston. The majority of us picked the Dallas Mavericks, including myself. So that's one. Number two is this.
I don't know, but I got to run the tape.
Okay, run the tape. Number two is this. To me, it's not if you lose, it's how you lose, right? And it wasn't because Luka was heroic. Luka looked fucking fat, lost, and lazy. That's what Luka looked like in them finals. He didn't look like that going throughout the Western Conference. But when he got to the finals, bro, it was blow by after blow by. It was, he didn't have, and here's the thing. I'll blame it on the stamina, but he didn't, it seemed like his fervor for the game wasn't there. He didn't have any heart in them finals, bro. If you go back and watch those lowlights, it was horrible. And even if you don't have the legs, bro, you have to show the effort. And he didn't even have the effort. All he was doing was complaining to the refs. Hey, man, that's a foul. Don't you remember that horrible attempt of trying to get a charge? And he was out the rest of the game with five fouls. Right. Come on, man.
But how do you see this playing out in L.A., though?
That's what I was saying.
I'm with you. I think that it worked. I didn't think Kyrie and Luka would work, but it did. And now you get a way, not the offensive prowess of Kyrie, but I think it could work.
Another basketball.
I'm saying it could work.
How can it work based off, like, FIFA made my whole argument. You saying this dude who's going to replace AD, who's shorter, fatter, not as athletic, doesn't have the defensive. So I'm
looking at it more so
offensively. He is, but like overall, it's like, how does this team win? Especially with that bench.
And I was the first to put in the chat that, you know, shit, trade LeBron, because I don't see it working. But again, after a little bit of time thinking about what that Dallas Maverick team looked like, and I didn't anticipate Luka and Kyrie working. Well, to Ken's point, and I agree, LeBron is an overall better version of Kyrie. Kyrie is a bucket getter, killer, assassin. We get that. He's better than LeBron at that. But every other aspect of the game, even including defense at this point in his career, LeBron is still better than Kyrie in every other aspect of the game. You know what I'm saying? So if it worked with Kyrie, it can work with Luka. I'm not sold on it. I have to see it. Just the same way I had to see it to believe it with Kyrie, I got to see it. I do think that they are devoid of defensive specialists, especially at the big position now, you know, with this trade. But can it work? Bro, you're talking about arguably two of the greatest passers ever. And I'm putting Joker in there too. Joker, LeBron, and Luka are three of the greatest passers, not named Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd. You know what I'm saying? Like those guys are that level. And then you look at just offensively, creatively. You know what I'm saying? The creativity that those two guys have. Now, LeBron has to play a little bit different. He's going to have to come off the ball a little bit more because Luka's that guy. Is it Luka's team? I don't know. We'll see. I got to see it. I gotta see it. Give me a couple games and I'll make an assessment. But right now, can they win? I think they can make the playoffs. Are they a championship contender? Hell no.
I'm not arguing about
it. And to kick it back to the Dallas point for you, FIFO, you did get rid of him. And I understand you saying he fat and all that stuff. He averaged 29, what, 8-6 in the finals. And also your next
what was
level
shooting percentage.
I don't know. But his next what I'm saying is when you replace him, you gotta get better. So that means you gotta win the championship next year. That's what that means.
If next
you
2 don't, years. Next 2 years.
If you don't, then that was a horrible trade. So you can't shake it no other way. I don't care he looked like. He was in the finals looking like that.
We're talking
about from Dallas perspective.
We'll get to Dallas.
I'm sorry. So, yeah. But as far as the Lakers goes, the problem that I see is, you know, I'll tell you a couple of those names we forgot about in Dallas was Derek Lively coming off the bench, providing the defensive spark. You had other big Gabriel, I can't remember his name, but he provided offense and defense and rebounding. You don't have those type players in LA that can come in, and you gave up your best defender, best shot blocker, best rebounder. So you got to replace that. You got decent skill players in Austin Reeves and Dalton Connect who can shoot, but you really don't have those defensive guys that can step up and hit a bucket when you need it to. So you lost that part. That part is what's going to hurt them more than anything else. You don't have a rim protector. So you're going to have to – they're going to trade for a center, or they're going to have to do something about that part, because I don't trust the guys they got in the post right now.
You think LeBron is out of there next year?
That's going to be tough, but I think so. I think he'll look to – I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in Golden State. I wouldn't. But it won't be this year. It'll be next year.
Nick Spike, what do y'all think?
I see him going back to Cleveland more than Golden State. I know he said he would like to – or there's rumors that he'd like to play with Steph. I know Golden State calling everybody and their mama who got a star to come to their team to help out Steph and his legacy. But if LeBron moves from his team to go to Steph, I'm looking at that nigga different. I ain't going to hold you. Like, why? even at this stage of his career, because it's just why? Like, bro, you always going, like, you never have nobody come to you. that's that dude. Now, of course, you could say, like, oh, he had AD. AD was ready to go anywhere else but New Orleans. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he just had Luka come to him. Luka, that dude.
They had, nigga, this is a trade in the deep of the night that he didn't even know about. Nigga, he ain't asked nobody. No,
he knew, Nick.
He got a prime K Love, and let's not act like K Love was washed when he first went to Cleveland.
To Nick's point, like if I'm LeBron, I'm staying
yes,
in LA.
30-20 K Love. Yeah. That K Love.
Yes.
No, I'm saying like we're talking about K Love. I'm talking about
30-20 K Love, Nick.
I'm talking about the guys that we like. The whole point of the image is that he's going to another superstars team and not being able to bring superstars to his team. If you want to say K Love and Anthony Davis are the superstars that he brought, and that's what he's done, that's fine. I don't look at them as big cogs like LeBron or D-Wade bringing LeBron to his team or like you know what I'm saying? Like them bringing a bigger superstar, better player to their team. Like LeBron going
then
to
nobody's Steph better than LeBron. LeBron was number one on everybody's list for 2 decades, bro. So nobody's going to be bigger than LeBron, number one. Number two, stop being disrespectful to K-Love. That was 30-20 K-Love, bro. That was 30-20 K-Love.
I think somebody that's getting a pass through all of this is Steph Curry. I don't know how nobody ever talk about Steph Curry.
I was the only one that talked about Steph Curry on this program.
That was the last year or so. Yeah, look, they've been flailing. That's not what we're talking about. Spike, go ahead and finish your point, and then I want to get Q's thoughts on what happened and the Lakers side before we move to Dallas.
I think LeBron's in a good position, man, as we're talking about the Lakers. They are fifth right now. We're getting Luka, one of the best players in the league right now. If I'm LeBron, I'm not thinking about going anywhere. I can dial it back. I can wait and save my energy and turn to the playoffs. Luka can turn it on just like he did last year with Dallas. And now you got a long shot, like make one or two moves, sign a free agent. You got a long shot for this Lakers team being able to make a run in the playoffs. Like, who would they be scared of? Like the Rockets and the Grizzlies and the Thunder in front of them. The only team that they would fear in a 7-game series is the Nuggets, and that's because they got Joker. If I got LeBron and Luka, I like my chances going into the season. So I think that LeBron stays put.
You think they're better than OKC right now?
Hell no.
I mean, not like that, but like if they get like a Miles Turner.
Play, if they played each other in the playoffs and I got LeBron and Luka, I feel good about beating OKC.
You tripping, Spike, because SGA gonna eat both of them boys up. Luka already don't play.
We said that last year. What happened to SGA?
I didn't say that about SGA.
We all said that. We thought that they was gonna make the run because we thought they were good.
No, because I said that OKC was gonna make the playoffs, but them boys had Similac on their breath, and that they was too young and that they needed an ass whooping. And that's what happened.
Is it going?
Yeah.
So you're taking them over series with one of the greatest players ever and somebody who's just 100%. Went to the finals last year.
100%. I would. 100%. 100%.
What about the Mavs? So let's look at the Mavs because they're a new look Mavs. So now it's Kyrie. Now it's Anthony Davis. They actually got pieces that make sense, you know, that actually match way more than the Lakers. I think people are not really talking about this team in terms of how they complement each other. So the Mavs got, of course, Anthony Davis, but then they also got Max Christie, and then they got a first round pick that may or may not be anything. And if it is, given how Nico Harrison been talking in the play, I don't think he's gonna be around, bro. He out of there.
Nico Harris running your team sound crazy now.
Yeah, but what Kyrie, man, Kyrie's been quiet, but he has to be the guy. And you know, there's the narrative about Kyrie being a Robin and AD being a Robin, but now Kyrie got to be the leader. So can Kyrie be successful as the de facto leader of the Mavs with AD? And is AD still top 10?
I don't understand AD. How Kyrie is supposed to be the leader when AD was supposed to be taking over as leader for the Lakers. Like, how did he fall to number two? I don't understand why people are trying to put him in that position.
They're both Robins. So you
two Robins equal a Batman.
Do it. I don't think that's how it works.
I think they can surprise some people.
I think when you're talking about a little and a big, two Robins can equal a Batman. They just got to be on the same page. There's been obviously a lot of coverage and people are talking about they have a very good relationship, like a personal relationship. So I think that'll play well on the court. Now, both of these guys, for the most part, have been injury prone throughout their career. So how good will they be down the stretch? I don't know. Obviously, what's his name? AD has been battling. You know, he's been in and out a little bit. Kyrie as well this season. But if both of those guys are healthy and playing tip top, they are perfect complementary players to each other. You know what I'm saying?
Throwing Klay too.
Yeah, Klay as well. You know what I'm saying? With the floor spacer. Klay, I've been saying it. I've been on record now. Klay is not as washed as I thought he was. That's a whole other conversation about Golden State and Steve Kerr and them that we will have one day in time. Nick, I will give you your props on the Steve Kerr take. But that being said, man, Dallas, if they can get it all on the same page, and I like J. Kidd as a head coach, they can make a lot of noise, and they match up with the best teams in the West. So can they make the finals? I can see it. But again, I got to see it on the court too. I got to make sure that those two guys right there that we got at that bottom, that they healthy and playing well.
Nick, I saw a report that said that AD was quick to waive his no trade something bonus or whatever. It was something that he needed to do to make the trade happen. So that was kind of shocking to me that he was ready to go.
Because he getting more money in Texas than he is in Cali, boy. You know, Texas, he probably burned his house for the insurance money. Before I go in on the whole AD thing, Q, I want to ask you a question. I want to get your thoughts on the whole trade. Is Kyrie and AD, does this not remind you of when Russ was with PG and OKC?
Hey, Nick, that's Quintavious. That ain't Q. He got a haircut. That's
Russ with you talking about Paul George in 2017?
Yeah. That's my expectations for it.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like that. You have like guys that are like almost like 4 or 5 years away from being washed. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like this is the final window for them to make something happen. Yeah, man, this trade was. I don't even like, there's no other way for me to look at this trade other than the fact that, like, this is a ratings move. From a value standpoint, there's no argument for this trade to be made. Like, you can't tell me that you're not going to field any offers from any other team. You're not going to open up the market to see what you can get. You're going to take Anthony Davis, which I get is Nico Harrison's guy. But to me, this just seems too owner involved. This seems like a silver and owner thing that's happening with the way that everyone's talking about the ratings and what is going to happen with LeBron after he leaves. Luka, I was just overseas for 7 months, and it was nothing but Luka Doncic and LeBron James jerseys. And he's the biggest European star by far. By far. It's him, Jokic. If you want to count Giannis as being a European star, sure. But it's Luka Doncic by far. And putting him in a L.A. market as Boston is still in their window, this to me just screams not collusion. It's just the basic, like, it's the basic business. Like, yo, we need a revival plan for the NBA. And I think that they're now doing this whole smear campaign where they're trying to talk about Luka's weight. We ain't been hearing shit about Luka's weight being a huge problem. We've heard little, like, chirpings here and there. There's been tweets here and there, reports. But now they're coming out saying, oh, he was drinking too much. I don't care if that dude was eating a pail of barbecue wings and watching Pornhub in the middle of fucking practice. That nigga dropped 73 points regardless. So from a value standpoint, you can't tell me that you got the best deal. And I don't have any other way to look at it besides the fact that it looks like Nico Harrison is just being a patsy right now. And the Lakers have their transition window now wide open for the next 14 years with Luka Doncic. So whatever's going to happen here for Dallas is kind of secondary. The story here is that the NBA is betting on, I think, Boston and LA's markets to be, like, you know, a new millennial. Like, it's the new generation. This is the post-LeBron era officially. And I'm not really looking at anything beyond the fact that this is just the passing of the torch, you know? So it's going to be
a question for you.
Well, so before you ask the question, Q, you were one of the ones before the media and more than the media talking about Luka's conditioning.
I was. And no one would ever get on it. And I was like, dude, his conditioning is bad. Now, would I say his conditioning is so bad to where I'm not going to pay him his money? No, never that. I'm not saying, yo, trade him for Anthony Davis. Like, I'm not doing that. And I'm not saying that AD is a bad player. AD is clearly one of the greatest players we've ever seen. He's one of the best power forwards ever. So I don't want to do that. But I feel like in NFL terms, this would be like trading, like, Joe Burrow for, like, Derrick Henry. Yeah, like, it's just like, like, you don't do that, dude. Like, no matter what.
But Q, like, and that leads me to the question. I know I agree with you. They didn't necessarily get the best deal, but did they get the best player possible in the deal? You know what I'm saying? Because when I look at the other greats in the league, to me, AD is probably as good of a player that you're going to get a return. The rest of it, and that was my issue as well when we did our instant reaction to it, was like, give me more trade cap or more draft capital. I felt like that's where this deal was lacking. But in terms of player for player, I don't know you get better than AD.
I think that I don't know if you're wrong, but I know that it's wrong to not at least open the market up to see, hey, will the Sixers give me Joel Embiid and a player? But all I'm saying is that you can't say that you have this very. Well, if I'm a Sixers fan, I want us to get off all these players that we have under contract besides Maxey. But here's what I'm saying though. Is that if you're a GM and you're telling me that you're not going to do your due diligence to open the market up, there would have been an all out Avengers Age of Ultron level war for Luka Doncic. If you say, I'm putting him on the market, you might get Chet Holmgren and Josh Williams and whoever else to go with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You might get Milwaukee say, we'll give you Giannis Antetokounmpo because he wants to go somewhere else. And Giannis has been saying he's unhappy all over. I'm not being crazy, dude. But you telling me I'm crazy.
Luka just got traded for AD.
He just got traded for AD. I'm not crazy. No,
the reason I say that, I think that what FIFA was saying is correct. Like, I'm going to put Luka out there now, shopping around, and I got to do all of this with draft picks and draft capital. They were trying to get a deal done quick for some reason. I'm not sure why. But AD is probably the best thing you're going to get back.
No,
everybody else.
No, y'all falling for the okie-doke.
Player-wise. I'm excluding draft picks. I'm excluding draft picks.
No, man. Y'all falling for the okie-doke. You can get Devin Booker if you're talking about some younger bird. You're talking about a 31-year-old Anthony Davis. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's not great. I'm not saying that he's not an amazing player. I'm saying that we just saw Luka Doncic get traded. And y'all telling me that it's crazy that you couldn't say, yo, Phoenix, you want who you want? You know?
And when I say like the best player, right, not only that, but the fit for the Mavericks, right? Because I love Devin Booker. Like I've come on here for several years and said Devin Booker is top two shooting guard in the league. But Devin Booker, in my opinion, doesn't fit or doesn't take them over the top or potentially better as a basketball unit. To me, I'm not saying AD is better than Luka, but as a basketball unit, to me, this is more formidable than what Luka was with the Mavs, because you have a rim protector. Like you said, you have a top seven, you know, power forward of all time. That's a rim protector, super versatile, can shoot threes. You don't really want him to shoot threes, but has definitely a 15 to 18 foot game, can finish around the basket, can create his own shot. So basketball wise, and that's what I mean, like the best basketball player, not just like individually, but for the fit for Dallas, I don't know if you get a better, because I don't know if Milwaukee is like, to me, Giannis and Luka are on the same level. I don't know if I'm like, I'm not putting Luka and Dame together.
I'm not saying that these are exact one-to-one situations. I'm saying that if you're telling me you have a super rare vehicle that is only worth X amount of money and you're trying to sell it, and then one guy comes to you and says, oh, shit, does he know it's worth that much? And you say, hey, I'll give you a lesser value vehicle for this super rare vehicle that costs five times more. It's in better condition. It's one of one. And instead of saying, you know what, I like that offer, but let me go and shop this around and see if anyone else going to give me some shit for my super rare vehicle, I'm going to just take the first offer that comes to me. And you're telling me that Nico Harrison
and it wasn't Bob the first Linka. Offer that came to him. Nico created the offer.
Yeah, he called
and him. That is insane. Like that, yeah, like okay. That is an insane thing to do if you have a Luka Doncic level player.
Yeah. I think you can't
go to somebody and be like, hey, just between me and you, can I get Dalton Connect maybe?
I can't get him.
Okay, that's cool. Just give me AD and Max Christie for Luka Doncic. Just can't you really remove from a quick final.
I have a quick scenario for you. I want to ask you, do you think the same thing? If management, being that it's new, saying, I don't want him. I don't want him anymore. Like, we're not re-signing him. We want you to get the best deal for us, and we want you to do it quickly. Wouldn't it make sense to him having a relationship that he had with Rob Pelinka, that being the first person that he called?
I agree with that. And I think that is the case. I think that that is exactly the case. But the issue is that you have to have some level of self-preservation here, because if management is going to try to fire you because you're not doing what they want, they damn sure going to fire you, because what's the window here? I'm not saying that they can't do something in the next two seasons, but you're hinging a lot on Kyrie and Anthony Davis's health to remain like faithful to what you got going on. And I don't think that this is the player, or at least this is the deal that you need to rush to make. You need to see, okay, if Rob Pelinka really wants Luka Doncic, can we say that one more time? If Rob Pelinka really wants Luka Doncic, he'll be there in a week. He'll be there in 2 weeks. He'll be there during the summer, because it's Luka fucking Doncic. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know what I mean? If you're a single man and Prime Nia Long is telling you, yo, I might take you out on a date, nigga, you might not be waiting up for it, but my guy, if you're around and she call again, you're going to answer the fucking phone. You feel me? So I'm not really hearing the whole, like, damage control from Dallas. Now we have a three-year window, but the future is now. What the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, what were you going to say, Shelton?
That was it. I was going to say I agree with Q wholeheartedly on that, because even if you're going to take a deal from just this team, that may have been your first call, but it damn sure shouldn't be your last. I'm going to see what else is going on. But if I'm going to take it, you're going to give me one of those other guys to go along with it. I'm going to take a Dalton Connect or I'm going to take a Austin Reeves. You give me something else other than just AD. It's more than just this one window. I'm not giving you a 25-year-old for a player with only a couple of years left.
And Kyrie can opt out after this season, and which just makes this a very it's just a weird situation. Yeah, but
it's
about Luka to LA, man.
I think what Spike said made a lot of sense. That's the only thing that can make sense is like we're not bringing him back. I'm over this guy. Get rid of him. Give me what you can, and we good. Will that preserve his job? I don't know, but that remains to be seen. I'm really interested in seeing how AD and Kyrie look on the court. Luka's going to be back after the All-Star break, so it's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens. And really watching this casino story too, because that's going to be a something to watch now that that's got put out there. If that's true. So, I don't know. Nevertheless, we'll leave it there. Man, if they win a fuck, if Dallas win a title, bro, and I know that's if and ain't, I don't have anything, Nick.
I'm drinking water saying, myself.
Can you imagine that? That would be hell of a story.
Hey, if because the great to me the greatest. GM, president, whoever that got away with some shit like this was a dude from Toronto. What was his name? When he traded. Yeah. He's the only motherfucker that came away and saying, look, nigga, I rolled a dice and I hit seven.
You talking about Masai Ujiri?
Yeah. If Nico won a title, I would even give him credit if he even gets back to the finals to keep it a beam. Like, obviously, like you said, a lot of stuff has to go to right. Like, everybody has to be healthy and all the other shit. If he even gets them back to the finals, I'm like, bro, this nigga Nico may be the best GM in the fucking league. Because if you look at his moves he's made since he joined the team, since he took over, like getting Kyrie, everybody questioned him. It worked out. You know what I'm saying? Getting all those other pieces, everybody kind of questioned him, and it still worked out. This is the most ballsiest move ever. Like I don't know what else.
No, it's not. Nick, do you know how many first round picks you gave up for Mikal Bridges with your Knicks?
That's what I'm saying, yo.
I'm not saying he didn't leave, you know, shit on the table when it comes to the deal. The deal is a bad deal in general. I'm just talking more of like, even with that being said, if he even gets this team to the finals, like, because let's be honest, like draft picks don't mean shit these days. There's nobody's really coming out in the NCAA that's outside of Cooper fucking Flag, and he may not even be a top pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really, like, what do these picks really mean? The only thing is, like, the only credit that I give Nico is that if you were to shop around Luka, one, he could say I'm only going to this team, which then cuts down the whole deal. Or two, like AD is like one of those players that you'd be like, all right, if I got him, that's better than most niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Still
I got
top 10. We never
he ain't top 10 to me. He's top 15.
I don't think he's a top 10 player. I think he's a top 10 player.
When healthy, he top 15. He ain't top 10 to me.
No.
That's better than Cat.
He better than Cat.
Huh?
Yep.
He better than Cat.
He's not better than
Cat. Yes, he is.
He's not better than Cat.
Yes, he is. It's not even close.
I just don't understand the move because I feel like the future was kind of disregarded. When you're trading a guy who's going to be 26 in a couple of days, you just completely disregard the fact that you have guys that are aging, and in 3 to 4 years, he's not even going to be 29, bro. Like, this dude's going to still be in this late 27, 28 range. I'm looking at teams like Orlando, Sacramento, and you don't even ask for people like, yo, Houston. Give us Paolo and Franz Wagner. Give me Amen Thompson. And, you know what I mean?
It's clear as day. Something else is happening that no one knows about.
They're not divulging it
to anybody. And I don't know if we'll ever find out, but I'll put it to you guys this way. This trade is so bad that even if, Nick, they went back to the finals, they still would say this is a bad trade.
It's just
okay, insane. So let's take a step forward before we move on. If they win the finals, right, everybody, if they win the finals, is he not the greatest GM of all time?
If they win the finals, the conversation would be a little bit different.
It's still going to look at him like, bro, but you still traded for nothing.
It's still inexcusable. It's inexcusable. because if the Lakers go on under Luka's tenure, he's 25. Let's say he stops playing for them when he's 36. You have an 11-12 year window here, right? If they win 3 or 4 championships under Luka, like, it makes the other trade look like, dude, really?
But let's be honest. Why do we act like the Lakers are like have been a championship type level team? Like
they've won in every decade. So
they've won in every decade, but like shit, we 5 years away from the next one. So my thing is like,
I'm still in contention.
I don't. Again, I'm not saying this about more nor so Luka or LeBron. It's more the team of LA. It's like, bro, they in the West, bro. I'm not picking them over Memphis, Denver. OKC, who else we got? Minnesota. Like, I'm not picking these niggas over.
LeBron and Luka's IQ alone is going to win them a playoff series. Like,
yeah, that's a series. Again, I think they're a playoff team. That's fine, but that's
and
best.
I think they can beat pretty much anybody. Sans Denver, maybe.
I don't see them going to a Western Conference Finals for the next 5 years.
I mean, it's right whoa.
I'm gonna say that right now.
They're gonna rebuild around Luka.
It ain't gonna be enough.
It's gonna be enough.
Shout out to Kendrick. It's not enough.
It's gonna be enough. But it's the Lakers.
Every decade, they've gone to the finals, bro. Every decade. What are you?
You only say that because they went to the finals once this decade.
That's all because Rob Pelinka didn't run it back. Okay. He didn't run it back. Rob Pelinka traded away all their assets. Regardless, that's a separate point. They're going to build around Luka Doncic. He's the new face. I think this is all about revitalizing Boston LA shit because they're both on a timeline to have Tatum, Luka be like the guys right now.
Yeah, right.
So I think that that's what we're going for, and I think that they're going to undoubtedly build around him, dude.
Mm. Well, we'll get there. We are a week away from being able to see exactly what all of these teams do because the NFL will be coming to a close with the Super Bowl being played Sunday. And as we get ready to call it a wrap on the season, we want to look back at the players that are not there. Well, it depends. I don't know who's on people's list. And just recognize some of the players and coaches that have had an outstanding season. So we will now give you guys our NFL MVPs, Coach of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, and Rookie of the Year. Feel free to, you may have to come up no, with one you. On the spot, but yeah. Who do you want to start with, Nick?
Well, first I want to say Lou, bro. I almost shed a tear when Ken said that and poured out a little liquor because the NFL season's coming to an end, bro. It's a sad day when we got to talk about
45 minutes at the top of the show with basketball. You know what's happening, bro.
Like, and we're talking about a fat white guy at that.
I shut up so we can move on and get back to the football.
You know what that told me, he fat.
But he's still great.
Don't worry, Lou. We got Dallas' spring game in about 3 weeks. So we have some football.
Let's start with him. Let's start with his list.
All right, we're going to do my list, man.
He put them all on one graphic.
Oh, he just put all together? Okay. Yeah. So we're going to have to just talk about one-on-one. I guess we just start off with the weakest one MVP or the most. That was the first one? Yeah, let's start at the top.
Who? Coach of the Year?
The MVP.
Oh, y'all want to start with the MVP?
We can do that last if you want to.
Oh, yeah, everybody's pick is
let's do the MVP. I thought it was.
I misunderstood. Okay,
let's do Coach of the Year then.
Okay, we'll do Coach of the Year. Boom.
Man, I sent my shit in, bro.
I like how Jalen be putting those shit that's like off of Madden when you too long into the franchise mode and they just ain't got no picture of the nigga.
You know, it's Black History Month, so I'm not gonna make this joke, but there's a joke.
It is definitely there.
I'm gonna ask you, Mike Tomlin.
I'm about to say Mike Tomlin.
Yo, listen, here y'all go. I was going to say Todd Bowles, but y'all, see, y'all niggas.
The graphic looks good, Jalen, by the way. So, yeah, so we got Andy Reid. Who is that guy next to? Who is that?
Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell.
Okay, Kevin O'Connell.
You don't even know the fuck he look like. That
shit's bad. Hey, that's, that lets you know right there.
Is that Dan Quinn? That's Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
And then
Andy Reid.
Yeah, whoever this other guy is.
Who you have, people?
I have Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell. So two Kevin O'Connells and two Dan Quinns. All right.
I got Dan Quinn also, guys. So
okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you the question. For the Dan Quinn people, before we go to Kevin O'Connell, was that before the season ended or after this, or like after their season ended?
In the middle of.
Okay.
In the middle of. Because I thought they were going to be complete shit. So yeah. I'm 100% wrong.
Okay.
Right. So wait, hold on. So y'all looked at this like through mid-year? I thought we was looking at it end of the year.
Yeah, mine was at the end of the year. For
no, I mean, I started to turn that way.
That's
like,
what I'm asking. Like, when did you start thinking? Like, yeah,
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
No. So you said Sean, it was the end of the playoffs for you.
No, the end of the regular season.
Regular season.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. These are regular season awards, bro. This.
I'm just making sure. I'm just trying to make sure we're like whose timeline is on what. Because I always
Spike picked Tom Cruise or somebody. Who the fuck is
Spike picked the villain of Daredevil season 3.
I can't believe y'all niggas is picking white man luck. Jaden Daniels carried this dude. Flat out white man luck, bro. I just picked the right job. I got a superstar, generational quarterback.
But what I'm saying,
we've seen Dan Quinn shit his pants in several situations, most namely with the Cowboys last season against Green Bay, most namely
last year
28-3 versus the Falcons. Like, he's not a good coach, bro. He just stumbled upon a good situation.
You giving Kevin O'Connell when all Brian Flores, that's all Brian Flores.
Get you the fuck up off of here.
That's all Brian Flores, right?
What the hell are you talking about?
Same logic, right? I'm talking back, right?
Same thing.
What Sam Donald was when they got to the playoffs. Man, what Kevin O'Connell was able to do throughout the regular season, winning 14 games, that was him being a hell of a coach.
With Sam Darnold.
FIFO, in all fairness, they had one of the best wide receivers in the league. They had one of the best defenses.
Yeah, hold on, Sean. You're talking out of turn.
But you don't have a quarterback.
Okay,
who thought that Sam Darnold was going to be the guy that he became
seen Minnesota this do season? This,
and also, okay.
And guess who the coach also was?
So what did they have in Washington?
Guess who the coach was when they did it? It was him, O'Connell.
He's
done this before.
Was Kevin O'Connell the coach when Case Keenum went to the NFC Championship game?
Nah, he was
exactly. They didn't did this shit before. I don't give a fuck, bro. They done this shit before.
Let me say this about Dan Quinn, because I hear what Spike Lou's saying. He's not necessarily wrong. My thing is, I look at Dan Quinn is that he's always been a part of a turnaround program.
Yeah.
When he was in Atlanta, Atlanta ain't been the same since he left. As bad as it was, Atlanta ain't been the same since he left. In Dallas, them 3 years where y'all was winning 12 plus, 10 plus games, he was a part of that defense. Now, again, you judging him off the regular season. Oh, no, we're judging him off the regular season. You're talking about playoff shit, Lou. That's where you obviously – that's a different
conversation. He talking about years.
I get that, but
piss his pants when it's important.
But you're talking about the playoffs.
Like he did this year.
But you're talking about the playoffs. You're not talking about regular season.
Because
the
regular season,
he's good regular season. My thing is that no one thought that Washington, after winning just 4 games last year, was going to triple that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's insane to say that, especially in that division.
Yeah.
Especially with a rookie QB. So I'm not taking nothing away from Jaden Daniels. I know how I feel about Jaden Daniels.
People believe that Jaden Daniels could have beat the Eagles too. A lot of people believe
Jaden Daniels.
I'm just saying, hold on real quick. I'm giving Dan Quinn two things, Shelton. I'm giving him one, he knows how to build a fucking coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And two, he's always been around a turnaround program.
Yes. And to add on to your point, Nick, he revitalized Ertz's career. He brought back Bobby Wagner. These guys, they didn't have another name on that team. It's not like you had names to pull from Washington. Jaden Daniels was your name.
What are y'all talking about?
He's a rookie, though.
Jaden Daniels. And when it was time for him to step up, when Dan Quinn was supposed to do his job and be a defensive coach, he gave up 3 rushing touchdowns to Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts.
When?
Like, where was he at in the last game?
You still talking about the playoffs. At? This is a regular season award.
Y'all giving him a pass because it's a regular season award. It don't matter. We know what type of man Quinn is.
I mean, the Commanders. I mean, the Commanders. The Commanders were terrible.
Spike, I picked the same coach as you, but let's keep it at the regular season. Look, the reason why the right choice is Kevin O'Connell is because we saw him do it with Kirk Franklin, you know what I'm saying? Or no, I'm sorry, my bad, Kirk Cousins. You know what I'm saying? Like, we saw him do it with Kirk Cousins that we all questioned how good of a quarterback he was. He went down with an Achilles tear. They go and get Sam Darnold. And even before Sam Darnold, they drafted J.J. McCarthy, and J.J. was like, oh, shit, is he the best quarterback out this class when we saw him in preseason? So we know that for at bare minimum, he is a quarterback whisperer supreme. Now, the play calling and this, that, and the third, he could get a little bit better when it comes to that. But who the hell had the Minnesota Vikings winning 14 games and challenging for the number one overall seed in the NFC? Nobody had that. And that's all because you could give Justin Jefferson this, that, and the third. That's a Ferrari on the outside. Somebody got to start the engine and put gas in the car. And we nobody thought Sam Darnold could do that. So the fact that Kevin O'Connell could do that with damn near any quarterback under the helm, he is definitely the coach of the year.
I'm just saying, what was the difference between Kevin O'Connell last year and this year? Like, I don't think there's a big difference. The biggest difference is
that Kirk Cousins is a known commodity. We know he's middle of the pack. We know that he's going to be solid. We know that he could get you to the playoffs. Is he a Super Bowl winning quarterback? No. But Sam Darnold?
But so is Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's a known commodity. The commodity
is not
good. Yes, he is. He's a known commodity. He's played for teams that we know that he's not a playoff.
But we know that he's not a playoff quarterback.
Neither Sam Darnold was definitely on the league.
That's what I'm saying, Nick. That's what I'm saying. I've seen this before from multiple situations in Minnesota where they've gotten scrap guys and they've gotten to NC championship games. They got into second rounds. You don't remember Case Keenum losing 41-7 against the Eagles in 2018? Like this situation has happened before. And I'm not saying that he's not worthy of. I'm not saying he's not worthy of a top three slot. I'm saying that I don't think anybody, not even Minnesota fans, believed it. I think that it always felt Cinderella.
For a reason why he should be.
Nah, man, you know when you believed Dan Quinn. Y'all sat up on this panel, not necessarily you, Spike, but a lot of people sat up on this panel. People sat up on national media, and they believed in the Commanders. They believe, they could maybe beat the Eagles. Oh, shit, they beat the Lions. I believe now.
When Minnesota was doing behind that belief.
Well, the belief was the fact that Jaden Daniels was the engine for sure, but Dan Quinn brought order and structure to that team. The defense was playing better, and they were mediocre as fuck with what's his name?
That's not their why, though. Like, their why wasn't because of Dan Quinn. I can honestly say the why behind Minnesota is Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We can't really say that. I'm sorry, Sheldon. We can't really say that that's not the truth because we don't know a world where Jaden Daniels is a QB not with Dan Quinn.
Exactly.
But like the issue is though, is that we see what Dan Quinn brings to certain programs. Dallas looked considerably worse on defense when he left. So he clearly brings value on that side of the ball. And I'm not trying to have y'all discount what every offensive line and every offensive player was saying the first 7 weeks. Yo, Brian Flores is calling some crazy fucking defenses. That's not all Kevin McConnell too. So it's all the situation. It's the QB. Yeah, it's like your staff. So, you know,
Sheldon. I was just looking at the schedule too. Minnesota's most impressive win was against Green Bay a couple times. I was trying to see. That was trying to figure out a way because both of them are up there. I'm not saying that they're not
top three
in consideration, but that's all I was going to say.
Most impressive win at Washington.
You know what, Spike? It don't even matter because you know what happened. When the season was over, the guys that got credit, how do I want to put this? Kevin O'Connell got credit for Sam Darnold for the regular season, and Sam Darnold turned around and let him down in the playoffs. Dan Quinn got credit in the regular season for Jaden Daniels, and Dan Quinn turned around and let Jaden Daniels down in the playoffs. So both of the guys that they ended up showing who they are at the wrong time.
He could have said it better.
Y'all keep on talking about playoffs, though. That's
exactly what happened.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying they're flaws.
And I will say this, and I feel like I'm one of the few people that said it. Not only did Sam Darnold let Kevin O'Connell down, Kevin O'Connell let Sam Darnold down too with the play call. And I said that in that game, about that game. It was too many damn passes. We saw early on you had to slow down the game for Sam Darnold because the moment was too big. And as a play caller, he didn't do that. But again, this is not playoff.
I'll say this real quick.
You're not wrong, FIFO, but he was able to notice as a coach that Darnold. He felt like he had to call him out of it. Like, I have to give him plays he's comfortable with and call him out of it. And then Darnold still didn't perform. Like, he was calling plays that he'd been hitting all year, and he just was holding the ball. He was like a deer in the headlights. So I get what you're saying, and it's not wrong, but I feel like that O'Connell, he felt like, I'm good enough. You should be good enough for us to overcome this, and Darnold never did.
Then he had like almost 50 some pass. Like, nah, bro, that's too much for Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's not that guy. He's not that guy.
I was gonna say, Ken, it's a cop out that you picked Andy Reid. You ain't shit. But go ahead. he gonna pick Andy Reid like that. So like, come on, bro. Like, are you kidding me?
Nobody even mentions Andy. Ken got a point too, though. Like that, like. People try to dismiss what Andy Reid has done, bro. He lost one game this season, too, just because he benched his players.
And he had all those injuries?
Who plays for the Chiefs, bro, other than Patrick Mahomes?
We know hella people that play for the Chiefs.
Chris Jones, they got Nick Duffy, Pacheco, DeAndre Hopkins. Like, we know
Pacheco was hurt. They didn't have Hopkins. They lost Rasheed Rice. Worthy was a rookie. They lost Hollywood Brown.
Daniels, and they went to the NCAA championship game.
Kelsey was washed.
No one thought they was going to be there. That's what I'm saying. It's just teams you never believed in. Nobody on this panel believed Sam Darnold would come through. Everyone started to believe in Jaden Daniels.
Where are we going next, Nick?
Let's do comeback player of the year.
All right. Comeback player of the year. All that shit I was talking, I got Sam Darnold.
Hey, I got Sam Darnold too.
You go ahead.
I got Sam Darnold. Go ahead.
Don't mute me. I gotta talk. Cause y'all knew y'all was gonna look at me the way y'all looking at me like this. I'll say this. He was literally injured last season. Was he not, Shelton?
He was injured.
He went out last season. They were on a roll too. They, after starting 0-3, they were like, when they beat San Francisco on the road, they were making waves, and then he got hurt in that Ravens game. And then obviously the season went to shit, even though they still had a winning record. This is the pure definition of comeback player. He came back from an injury and he balled out.
Because the NFL has changed what the definition is, because they used to give it to the guy that got hurt and then came back and had a decent season. Joe Burrow hasn't fallen off. You know what I'm saying? Like this is for a guy like Sam Darnold that everybody else on the panel selected. A guy that was basically out the league and resurrected his career and is looking at the biggest payday in his entire life. That is the definition of comeback. Joe Burrow, you still considered a top three quarterback with or without the injury. So get the hell up out of here. You the one that copped out and you being a homer. Shut his damn mic off.
Hold on.
I'm going to ride with Nick on this one, and I'll give it to Joe Burrow too.
I'm gonna say the reason why the reason why I can't say Sam Darnold is because nothing changed about Sam Darnold to me.
Hey, but Nick,
you didn't believe it. Nobody believed it.
Huh? Nick, what was their record when he got hurt? When did they finish it that year?
Who they was the like when, at the time? It was like, I think they were 5-5.
What did they finish that year?
They finished 9-8.
Walker.
Yeah, what they finish this year? What they finish this year with?
Yeah, what they finish this year?
They finished 9-8.
They didn't come back from nothing.
We talking about the player. We're not talking about the team.
The player.
Yeah, and all I'm saying is that what he proved to me, Shelton, is something that you said that after you said it, you couldn't say it no more, and I was waiting for you to bring it up because it was his durability. You were always saying, like, the reason why I don't have Joe Burrow top five
or ahead of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he's like, because I don't know if he can last the whole season.
Yeah. Well,
he proved that he could last the whole season. And yeah, he was still getting hit and everything else, too.
But he was top three before the injury. He's still top three after the injury. And obviously this season.
Some people don't think he's top three. Some people don't think he's top three.
Because they're blind. Because
no one would consider him not top four. He's top four, easily.
Yeah, but he used to be top two.
No, he never.
And now he's a comeback player of the year.
Yeah, he slipped.
He slipped. And you too, Q, since you co-signed the bullshit.
He's a slip back player. Oh, he slip back. Come
on with him. Q, is he MVP? No, I'm not saying he's MVP. He's a comeback. He's a comeback kid.
I'm just gonna have a Darnold bias, bro. I'm not.
I can learn nothing about Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold ain't do shit. He played all the good games for what?
To me, it was just the situation around him. You can
make the same thing about Joe Burrow. He did all of that for what? Well, what? I mean, he had the number one wide receiver.
It looked different, though.
Come on, make it. Yes, it looked drastically different. Don't act like Joe. Sam Darnold's best season is Joe Burrow's worst season. That's what
right,
I'm saying.
Right. So that's why I can't give it to Joe. So same reason people said. That's why we can't give it to him.
Because he came back from injury. That's my definition.
He just looked. He always looked. So,
well, I think that's what the NFL says, too. I think the NFL defines it also as coming back from injury. Some people come back from incarceration. You know what I mean? Some people like, some crazy they shit be going
the
on.
Injury. They changed the injury thing. Look at how the NFL defines it now.
What's next?
Let's do let's do defensive player of the year.
I don't see this one.
Uh-oh.
We got offensive player of the year then?
We do have that.
We got defensive. Well, we...
Well, shit. Oh, while
I don't
we
see a reference
out,
for that, so y'all can go ahead and name yours.
Defensive player of the year?
Nick, do you want to know what the chat feels in terms of AD versus Cat?
What they say?
87% AD is a better player with 46 votes. So he's get better. The fuck up out of here, Cat.
You said, is the poll still going on?
They got it's still going on.
Yeah, all
right, it ain't going to change.
Give me the end result. Give me that result.
Yeah.
It ain't going to change.
I think the graphic for that one did not upload, but I'll go ahead and name my defensive player of the year, and then Nick, you go, and Spike, then Q, then people, then Shelton. I had Trey Hendrickson.
Oh wow!
Same here.
Wow. That's interesting. Spike? I had Passer Tay.
I had Passer Tay.
I got Trey Hendrickson.
I got Zach Bond.
I'm not mad at you. I'm riding with you, something, but
no. Absolutely. Q. Now, Q, answer me this, right? Because Q can attest. Their success, Q, he has made as many plays as Saquon, right?
We've been coming here standing every week, bro. We know.
He's been a revelation.
He's been really good this year.
Yeah, he's made plays.
I'm not mad at that.
He's a solid player on a team with a lot of really good players.
He's forced a lot of fumbles. He's got a lot of sacks this year.
He has a lot of talent.
Shelton, I looked into it. I've heard people talking highly about everything that he's done. But defensive player of the year is a stretch. I don't want to shit on the season.
No.
It was really good.
Yeah, the only reason I said is because, like I said, you can attribute a couple of those wins to him directly, just his play alone, like plays that he's made in crunch time, be it recovering a fumble, creating a fumble.
It sounds funny, but it's true though, bro.
It's true.
I'm laughing. You know why I'm laughing. That's why.
It sounds funny.
It's funny. But that's the funniest thing you said. What you said, bro. You said Zach Bond. That's the
good thing. No. Hey, Q. Has he not probably single-handedly won at least two or three games?
Like the New Orleans game, he balled the fuck out for sure. And I would say that on the defensive side of the ball, Zach Bond's ability to punch the ball out, be around fumbles, secure fumbles, cause fumbles, the sacks,
interceptions,
everything. The Jacksonville game he's turned a lot of momentum towards our way. So I'll give him that nod. I'm not mad at you.
Let's move on, Ken. This joke went on too long. Offensive player of the year. Oh my gosh, this nigga said Zach Bond.
wait. Before we move on, what did Trey Hendrickson do? Why would y'all pick him?
Trey Hendrickson had no help.
He's the only Name me another defensive player on the Bengals, Shelton. There's a level of
did it translate to win?
Yeah, but some of them. Some of them he won them a few.
I mean, but Myles Garrett won it last year. Did that translate to wins?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a player, bro. We're not talking about teams.
Trey Hendrickson to Myles Garrett. Wow.
No, but hold on, but that was my justification for also selecting Trey Hendrickson.
We're gonna see how much
Trey Hendrickson.
Zach Bond like, had 5 forced fumbles.
Okay, that's all good.
And
Trey Hendrickson, but they had, how many UGA players did they draft?
Hold on, one at a time.
Okay,
how many UGA players do the damn Eagles have? Number one, number two, we've talked about the Eagles being top to bottom one of the best rosters probably ever constructed, right? And On Cincinnati, like Nick just said, bro, who is on that D line? Who's in the linebacking core? Who's in the secondary? That boy Trey Hendrickson had no help, and he led the league in sacks, bro. That is an accomplishment.
I agree.
Not defensive player of the year accomplishment though. It's just not.
I agree.
But yeah, Ken, he's saying Zach Bond though. Let's move on to the offensive player.
33 to 100. And let me see how many Zach Bond had.
Sacks matter. Leading the league in sacks matter.
Yes,
when it matters to Shelton.
No.
In this particular situation, when that's leading the league in sacks, yeah. Now all of a sudden it's just like this is whatever. Like it don't even matter. It's an irrelevant stat.
It don't. When it doesn't matter, it wins.
Shelton has sat here on this program and constantly cited sacks and this, that, and other. And now it doesn't matter.
No, 33 tackles to 151 tackles. It's not going to be the same because it's two different positions, but still, your ability to affect the game matters most to me in the defensive player of the year award, and that's why I give it to him. Henderson had a great season with those sacks, but at the same time, I just don't see that being enough for me to vote him player of the year.
Sheldon, is Zach Bond better than Roquan Smith to you?
What, this year?
This year?
This year, yes.
Would you take him over Fred?
So Zach Bond is the best linebacker in the NFL.
I'm trying to get to this season.
I don't know if those are two separate arguments. If somebody is a better player,
I'm just talking about this season.
I know, but the year somebody had doesn't always necessarily mean that the person's a better player.
Right.
So, but I'm just saying that the year Zach Bond has had has been really fucking good, bro. And it does deserve a look for defense player of the year. I'm not saying that if you don't think that he deserves it, fine, cool. I love Pat Surtain personally, just the way he was able to shut down that whole side of the field. Yeah, but it's like Zach Bond deserves a look, bro.
Let's go to offensive player of the year, bro. I think we talked about Zach Bond more than his mama.
He's signed for $1.6 million, bro. Like that's just crazy.
That goes to Howie.
He got all those elite guys around him. It makes his job way easier.
And he's the best one.
But anyway, offensive, and now he's the best player on that team. Y'all are
no.
That's what y'all just said. One thing, offensive player of the year.
The defensive tackle had a better year than him.
No, they didn't even mention Jalen Carter.
Carter is the best player in y'all defense.
He had the best season. Not
necessarily you, Q.
One last thing. When I was very suspect about the defense the first 4 weeks of the season before we got the bye week, the one player on defense the two players who showing up was Quinion and Zach Bond. I was very sheepish Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, and Jalen Carter. I thought that, all right, did we drive some bus here? But Vic Fangio got it together and everyone started gelling. But Zach Bond and Quinion were the only ones from the Green Bay game till the fourth week that showed up every week. We can move on.
Offensive player of the year. And before we have to close out the show, Ken, we got to talk about the Myles Garrett thing. But
future Eagle,
probably. Ooh. I would.
Yeah. Future Eagle.
But we got offensive player of the year. FIFA, who'd you say?
Jamar Chase, Triple Crown winner.
All right, so Luke, I'm gonna start with you. Why the hell you pick Lamar Jackson?
He had a hell of an offensive year. Most valuable player. I'm not sure if I would put him there. Spoiler alert. But as far as what we've seen a quarterback do, I don't think it could be you can't hold anything to that. Him playing that position in the regular season, not necessarily in the playoffs, it looks different. The game looks slower. It looked like he can do anything that he wants to at some points in the season. Yeah, he lost the game, but I think that's because he has an average-ass coach that don't give him good schemes.
This ain't about all that, Lou. We asking about Lamar.
Okay, I'm telling you, the reason why he lost games, and it may not look like they do this season, I think as far as offensively, he's the most unstoppable player probably in the league.
I don't think we need to touch on or to speak on Saquon. Because it's just obvious. I'll just say this about Jamar Chase: it's a triple crown. There's only four other niggas until Jamar that did that before. So I like to reward. If Saquon broke the record, I would say Saquon. Like he would have got MVP.
Y'all getting on me about Zach Bond, but Nick done picked three Bengals in this whole thing. Y'all ain't
He got jumped on for Joe Burrow too. Let's not. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They did jump on him for Joe Burrow. Yeah, but Nick, I you're 100% correct. The triple crown is great. And if he would have broken the record, you're right. In my head, I'm like, bro, he did sit down. Like, he intentionally didn't break the record. So I gave him credit for something he didn't do because it was clearly there. That's why I went with
Saquon. And I blame Nick Sirianni for that. Because you saw Zach Taylor said, "Yeah, the season may be over, but we're gonna let Jamar Chase get this triple crown if we can
say something." Man, he ain't got nothing else to play for, Nick.
Nick Sirianni.
Stat padding. Sorry, go ahead.
That's fine. It's a hell of a stat pad. My thing is this though, Shelton. We talking about like when Barkley said, bro, he was like, bro, my daddy was looking forward to it, kinda, because he was like, bro, like we would have had our family name in the record books. You know what I'm saying?
If he wins Sunday, don't matter.
So if he lose Sunday, then what?
If he lose Sunday, still one of the greatest. Studs, one of the great. He could still break Terrell Davis's.
He has about four records that he could break Sunday.
Okay, yeah. That's fine, Shelton. That's fine, Q.
Guess what? The only thing that matters Sunday is him winning.
To me, y'all talking as Eagles fans. I'm talking as a Saquon fan. I wanted to see him break.
No, just as a fan of the sport. Like I would rather if you feel like as an organization, you don't want your player to get hurt against his old team. I'm not playing with karma like that, dude. I'm not trying to gloat and get the record on you when we're in pursuit of a title and it's very much so realistic. So it's like, go rest yourself for 1 week. Get prepared for Green Bay.
Fuck all that, bro.
Because Nick be the first one as soon as he get hurt, then they'd be like, man, that's just so crazy, man. Yeah,
right.
Can't believe Saquon tore his Achilles against the fucking Green Bay, man.
I'm gonna say this, Q, because Ken, did they not run him? They got 60 times a game, and you want to use one game to be like, oh no, nah, let's ease it up. let's hold back. If you could do something for you, but for us, we're gonna have you run 60 times a game.
Well, those were necessary.
They were not necessary.
Those were necessary to win the game. It's a mission. We're trying to get to
it. I can't knock him for it. But he would have got it. But,
yeah, he would have.
But you can't ignore the triple crown. It's. I mean,
I'm gonna go.
Cooper Kupp did it, so it's legit.
And to add to the triple crown, to me, it was how they utilized Jamar Chase. Like he literally was all over the field. They put him in the slot a lot more this year. They put him in motion. Huh?
Jamar Chase was your guy too?
Chase was my guy. So to me, it was the triple crown, but on top of it was just how they utilized them. Like he literally, and if y'all not subscribed, y'all should go subscribe to the Steve Smith YouTube channel. Like the way he breaks down wide receivers is amazing. Obviously, he was one of the most underrated to ever do it. And the way he broke down Jamar Chase changed my perspective. And I was like, you know what? He is right. Like he is right. So,
hey, sorry, y'all. Mine is opposite. I didn't have Saquon as my offensive player of the year. Saquon, I had Lamar Jackson. So Lamar Jackson was my offensive player of the year.
I had Saquon.
When did you just realize that?
I did. I just realized it looking back. I don't know. I was like, well, maybe we on to something else because I didn't have him for that, but I had him reversed.
You must have sent that to him, nigga. So
no, I sent it to him right. I'm looking at it.
All right.
Damn, Jay.
You slipping, Jay. That's what he's trying to tell you live on air. Nah, let's move on to
he made a point to call you out, Jay. ISO.
Let's go to the rookie of the year if we can.
Yeah, we don't have a
graphic. This should be a sweep, right?
We can get it. The only one I have left, the MVP picks and the Super Bowl picks. But I had Jaden Daniels.
It should be a sweep.
It's unanimous. It's a sweep.
Unless you want to give us Caleb or not.
No. Not at all. Jaden Daniels all the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do MVP then.
Yeah. Quinn, you're my defensive player of the year.
Rookie MVP.
Yeah. Here we go. Boom. Joe Burrow, Nick.
That's right. That's what I had.
Oh, my God, Nick. How could you sell out like
that? I'm not mad at you.
Oh, my God.
So hold on. Before all of the commentary. Before all of the commentary, let me tell y'all who I'd selected. Lamar Jackson, the only right pick here. But okay, Lamar Jackson.
Wow. I'll say this because, well, me and people got to talk.
It's been right if you got it in.
I'm going to give you the real one.
So,
hey, Nick, that's crazy.
Let me talk, Lou. I know it's Black History Month. I got to make my case. Oh, bro.
He's one of the good ones. Leave him alone.
I got the papers in my hand for my case.
That's Ivy League, Nick, coming out.
I was
you disrespected this platform.
I was
like
crunching
that,
the numbers, Lou. I was
yeah, we gotta get it back.
Here's what I'll say.
Y'all just mad Nick doesn't want to vote for a thug.
Here's what I'm saying.
Damn, that's crazy. You've been away from Atlanta too long, bro.
My thing is this, Lou. I'm gonna say two things that I don't normally say on this program. One, I have to agree with FIFO. I was wrong on the Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Jets, Bills thing. So wrong, so that Allen exceeded my expectations, and he took a team to the championship game.
Can we clip that?
I'm going to give credit where credit's due as far as Josh Allen in that moment, which is why I gave him all that criticism last week when he didn't do the fucking thing to get the job done. Like you can't drag a team there and then say like, oh shit, I need Dalton Kincaid to save me. I will say this about the reason why I didn't pick Lamar. Same reason why I didn't pick Sam Darnold for comeback player of the year. So what did I learn different about Lamar Jackson? He don't show up when you need him to do. And how many MVPs can we give a nigga who can't even get to the fucking Super Bowl?
Like you were telling me earlier, you just told me that.
I'm saying this for this one context, Lou, this one exception. When you give a QB3 MVPs in what, 5 years or 6 years, you're putting him in rare air as far as saying like he is like top eight of all time or top five of all time in them conversations. And I don't think as great as Lamar Jackson is, I don't think we're saying that, which is why I'm like, I'm not going to give him an award or put him in that conversation if I don't really believe it. So that's why I'm like, this is a year that Josh Allen realistically probably is the only time he's going to get an MVP award. And he deserves it this year, more so than Nick Lamar Jackson.
You feel sorry for the white man. That's crazy.
Nick said, I don't even think Lamar can read a defense. So
hey, Nick, since I was the only other person to pick a quarterback, let me go. Look, I will agree that Josh Allen did a lot with a little, right? Like he had a rookie wide receiver out there that struggled a lot of the season. They traded midseason for the guy from Cleveland. I can't think of his name. You know, I'm bad with names.
Cooper.
Yep, for Cooper, Amari Cooper. And he did a lot, bro. Like you said, he got him to the AFC Championship game. It happened, with Pat Mahomes. And I was the one that, if you want to say shot him bail, I shot him a lot of bail. But to me, if we're looking at the regular season, yes, Lamar had more help, but Lamar was more spectacular. I think he only threw four picks. One of those picks was on him. The other three, it had nothing to do with him.
What about the loss?
The one was in the playoffs too, so that don't even count. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking regular season. Lamar Jackson was more spectacular, in my opinion. And he was just more, he was, bro, we call him Super Negro. Like we literally dubbed him that.
the white man call him that.
You call him that.
Hey, this we all co-signed that name. But at the end of the day, man, to me, he just had a more spectacular season, and that's the only reason why I picked him. I'm not saying Josh Allen isn't worthy.
Can I say this one thing, Q? Because it's gonna stand on something that Shelton always talk about. The nigga won more games with a shittier team.
Hey, I can't believe this is the most surprising thing I've been a part of on Dead End Sports. Like, you shooting him bail. That is crazy.
First of all, it's a regular season award. That's what we're talking about. And second of all, listen, if I came into the season before the season started with the rosters that we've seen, and I said, Shelton, bet $100 that Josh Allen going to win two more games than Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. What would you say? Bet 200.
Yeah, you're right. Now that part,
and he did.
No, you know what, Spike? You know, Spike, Nick is just saying, like, it's just something about that Lamar guy I don't trust. You know, I just really trust that Josh Allen dude, man.
Nick. And he got the do-rag on and everything. That was perfect, yeah. Kid. He did that on purpose, kid. He put a do-rag on so we would excuse him for voting for Josh Allen. But it was just Nick.
I'm trying to keep it a beat. Hey, kid, this is what happens when I'm fine being in this role, being this kind of dude, because I have to keep order for y'all. You know what I'm saying? I gotta take all the shots.
You're the one that creates the chaos.
You're not that off, because I had Josh Allen typed out for similar reasons that he was able to do a lot with nothing. And Lamar Jackson did have a little bit more jobs. Lamar Jackson's numbers were crazy. But in doing that, I realized that we're talking about MVPs, and this is the one opportunity to not just always award an MVP to a quarterback when there's another guy that's deserving. And you take Saquon off that Eagles team, bro. It's a completely different team.
Absolutely.
That it's clearly Saquon.
Facts.
Yeah, he had a great.
Nick said clearly.
The Super Bowl without Saquon, though. And the majority of the team looked the same without Saquon. This is this year.
We're just talking about this year, FIFO. And that's why you got to give it to him. He had a superhuman season. he balled out, and he just deserved it for me. I did, like I said, I gave Lamar Jackson Offensive Player of the Year. And the reason why I did that was because of what you said, those very reasons. He didn't turn the ball over, and he had a hell of a season. But to me, MVP goes to Saquon.
Yeah, Saquon was my MVP too, just because of the fact that without him, the entire DNA of the team is different. Like, we have to rely more on the passing game. The defense might be stressed more. It exposes some things that we not really, you know, seeing because of Saquon. And, man, it's just one last thing, though. Nick said it's MVP, not DEI, motherfucker.
with the hard R on the end.
Yeah, man. Get out of here.
That was really good, Q. That was dope.
Have you seen the DVP award? What you got, Spike?
Nick, real quick, have you seen that old That's a Ravens episode where she didn't get hired because she was black? And she had that's true. With I don't give MVPs to black people. Nigga, what is wrong with you? You acting crazy.
If we do the tapes, bro, I'm the biggest Lamar Jackson fan, bro. Four of the other QBs on my list are black.
We don't care, bro.
I don't know what's worse, your pick or y'all quoting that so Raven on the show, man.
What I was going to say, Ken, like you said, like you asked me, for Saquon Barkley and focus on the guy that won the pick, he was the most explosive player in the NFL this year. It hurts me. Y'all know how much I hate the Eagles and everything they have to do with. To have a running back, a quarterback, and still be able to do what he did and rush for that many yards, it hurts me. They were a one-dimensional threat, and he was still able to do what he did. Like that's amazing. That's an amazing thing, man. So shout out to him.
All right, so that is it. Those are all of our picks for our individual award winners for the 2025 NFL season. So let's focus our attention to the big game that is happening Sunday, the final game of 2024-2025 NFL season. It's a rematch of Super Bowl 57. Between the Eagles and the Chiefs. We ready to do the picks? Everybody's pick is on one graphic. So before we reveal the picks, anybody want to kind of, or we want me to reveal the picks? How y'all want to do it?
Let's talk a little bit. Let me just give my soliloquy to Saquon Barkley. He will always be a giant in my heart. You know what I'm saying? he is always the reason why I root for, like you said, Lou, he the only thing I give a fuck about the Eagles about. Outside of that, I could give two tits. know what I'm saying? But I just want to say that Saquon, even though I didn't pick him for MVP or Offensive Player of the Year, it's only because I'm disappointed in Nick Sirianni for not letting him get the record, because he would have got both of me if that's the case.
Mm. Okay.
And he's the engine for why this team is in the Super Bowl. Fuck all the defense shit, all the other shit. If you take Saquon Barkley off this team ain't even making it this far.
Nick, you gave more awards to the Bengals than Kendrick Lamar won. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Well, before I reveal our picks, Q, who do you have winning the Super Bowl?
The refs.
I got the shit. Basically, I got the Chiefs 34-31.
Somebody said you're gonna do that. All right, let's reveal the picks and then we'll talk about what we have. Boom, here we go. What's going on here?
Yeah, see, the NFL gonna win. See, and
this is my fault because I legit forgot to send it to him, but that's only because. Ken,
Jalen funny as hell.
Ken, like I said, bro, I've been crunching the numbers. I got all my paperwork here. And I'm trying to tell you, bro, this is the hardest Super Bowl I've ever had to pick. So much so that I had to do it in a traumatic fashion. But if y'all can see it, I'm picking Philly. I'm picking Philly because Lou, I know I always say I shouldn't bet against Patrick Mahomes, and I keep doing it, but it's only because this team is. I've been going against this team all season long. Shelton know it, and at one point you just got to be like, bro, if it's the answer, it's the answer. Say it like I know Patty and them been doing their thing, but going for a three-peat, I think it's much harder than for Jalen Hurts to put the ball in Saquon's hand and say, go us win this the game, because they've been doing it all season. So I think this is a running back that the Kansas City has not seen. I think it's a defense that is just as good as Kansas City that causes turnovers. And I think that offensive line is so good. It'll give Jalen enough time to make a deep ball to AJ Brown. So not saying that if Patty wins, I'm not going to be surprised by that. I just think that
Don't do that.
I'm picking Philly. I'm only saying that because they're literally favored by Vegas and it's Patrick Mahomes. So again, it's not shocking if he wins another Super Bowl. I'm just saying that in this Super Bowl, I don't think this team is with Saquon is good enough to beat them.
Man, ain't going.
I got them 20. I got 28-24 with a Saquon last minute touchdown.
I'm looking at this graphic. I just want to make sure that I understand something correctly. So I'm going to ask you, Q.
Mm-hmm.
FIFO 2, who do y'all pick? Well, Q, you said KC. All
right, KC.
So me,
I got FIFO. Come on, man. I got my homeboy. I ain't been against him.
I thought I was the only person to pick KC, and I was going to say, y'all insane? Y'all ain't been watching the same thing that I've been watching over the past 2.5-3 years? This is literally the Michael Jordan effect. Like, Saquon is great. The Eagles have a really good football team, but there is no way in the world I'm going to bet against the best player that's laced them up that we've seen in this generation and say, oh, yeah, you may lose the Super Bowl. Like, there's no way that I would do that if I was betting real money.
Spike, I feel you. And I understand the logic. But this is like a super team, bro.
Bro, it is.
Like Nick, you've been crunching numbers, man. I've been doing my research. I've been about all this defense and Fangio this and just how connected they are on defense and just – they really button up, bro. They really button up, and they got the talent to pull off what Fangio wants to do. And then they can just shorten the game with Saquon, bro. I don't know how they pull this off. If you beat – the way to beat Patrick is to get the best team possible.
Facts.
And they got it, man.
Let me ask you this. Based off what y'all have seen from Patrick Mahomes over the last 2.5 years to this point, even if somebody has the best team possible, y'all still think that he wouldn't be able to pull it out?
Not this go around. Yeah, that's heavy. So pause, this, but not, this not this go around, Lou. Just because, again, this is a rematch. This is a rematch of 2 years ago with a better running back. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's just like that could have been that literally was a 3-point game that came down to a juju tug. Pause. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like jeez. if you put Saquon on that team, they may win the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? With the Jalen Hurts fumble.
We're talking about a coach, one of the best coaches ever.
Yes.
Coming off a bye week.
Yes.
With the best quarterback ever. Yes. Andy Reid coming off the bye week. He one, two losses, maybe. Like, go check the record of him coming off the bye week.
You know who the last like, so going
to I understand what you're saying. I really understand what you're saying, Nick, as far as them having the talent. But I think from a football perspective, if I got Andy Reid and I got Mahomes and I had a whole week to prepare – that's not going to matter. Like, this is generational shit, bro. It's like you're going against Jordan.
Lou, you know who he lost to the last time coming off a bye week?
The Bucks.
Philly.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
I was
the regular season, though, but
still, I was gonna say Shelton. Like,
that was totally different circumstances.
I was going to say, Shelton, like, we've seen Andy Reid lose in the Super Bowl before. A couple times. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like he's undefeated when he comes.
Because of injury.
What do you mean? Because
when it comes to the Chiefs. When it comes to the Chiefs, it was because of injury. When it comes to the Eagles, it's because he had a sucking quarterback in McNabb.
Either way, bro, if you're good enough, to me, that's what I hate when y'all try to double speak like that. If you're good enough to get to the Super Bowl, you're good enough to win the Super Bowl. Let's cut it.
Unless you got McNabb throwing up in the huddle and can't handle the fucking pressure of the situation.
McNabb was a good QB. He was good. T.O. was hurt.
I was going to say, Eli Manning proves that if you make it to the Super Bowl, you can win the Super Bowl. His whole career is about that. So let's cut the noise.
So my
thing is, when it comes to this team and it's round two, bro, I'm sorry. I know Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen, but that don't mean he's undefeated. He's going to be undefeated moving forward.
Mm.
LeBron got losses in the finals. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like, what are we talking about?
I just don't see this roster doing it for a couple of reasons that Spike said. Like, first and foremost, I don't trust Jalen Hurts. At the end of the day, this is a quarterback league, and you're going to have to put the ball up at some point in time. Like, I'm not saying the majority of the game, but at some point in time, Jalen Hurts' arm is going to have to do something to win the game. And I just don't trust Jalen Hurts more than Pat Mahomes. Also, Andy Reid is better than everybody on that coaching staff for the Eagles outside of Vic Fangio. You know what I'm saying? I'll put Vic Fangio up there. You know what I'm saying? But the way that we've seen Kansas City win games is a clear indication that they can win this game. It doesn't matter if it's a blowout. It doesn't matter if it's close. It doesn't matter if it's under 30 points. The only time that they did that was just in this last playoff game all fucking season. All season. So it doesn't matter how. And then here's the thing. I don't disagree, Nick, with the Kansas City Chiefs have not seen the likes of a Saquon Barkley at all. Like he is different, right? The nigga backwards hurtled somebody this regular season, bro. We ain't never seen no shit like that. We done seen a lot. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think that's the reason why Tyreek Hill is no longer a Chief, and they paid Chris Jones. They made the right decision there. And I'm not saying that they're going to nullify Saquon. Saquon is that great. I think he's going to have an amazing game. But I think when it comes down to it, we've seen Chris Jones make timely plays every time. Defensively, he is their Pat Mahomes defensively. We need not even a sack. Do we need a hurry? Do we need this? What do we need? And Chris Jones is there for them. And I think that in this game, the biggest game, Saquon's never been there. Jalen Hurts was there before, but he looked kind of suspect. You know what I'm saying?
He lost the game for him. You can say it.
Hey, I
went back and rewatched that game.
He was pretty great in that game. And that was a miscommunication between.
That was a game plan touchdown, but I rewatched that game.
Go back and rewatch that fumble. That's a miscommunication between Sanders and him. That's not just on Jalen.
Either way, he fumbled, nigga.
It was a huge fumble in the first half. I don't believe you lose a game in the first half. That's just
all I know is this: is that Pat Mahomes, all he knows is AFC Championship games and Super Bowls. To Shannon Sharpe's point, he is desensitized to the big moment, and we've seen him be the most clutch outside of Tom Brady. So to me, I can't pick against that. I don't give a damn how good that damn Philly team is, which I've said for two seasons now. They are the best team top to bottom outside of the 49ers. But I'm not picking against my homeboy, dog. I just can't.
You know, my one thing I'm just like looking at is just it just comes down to situations. And I just feel like I can't pick against Patrick Mahomes. Like, as much as I want to, like, say, yo, we should beat these guys. Like, my heart tells me, yo, we should beat these guys by 3 touchdowns. But my head is just telling me, like, it's just situations, and it's going to come down to a minute and 13 seconds, some crazy shit. We're up by, like, 3. And they're just driving. And I just don't know if we have – what it takes to stop Patrick Mahomes when he's
really believe that Q.
Yes, I'm saying.
I really believe that. I genuinely believe that, bro.
You got 26. You got 26, bro.
I believe that we're gonna do everything that we need to win that game. I just also think they have Patrick Mahomes.
What makes you question that, Ken? We talking about Patrick Mahomes, and somebody
talking about a team.
Yeah, I agree.
Somebody in the chat said, "Let's not call him the best quarterback ever." Dude is the best person we've ever seen play this position. I don't care about stats. Y'all talking about Super
Bowl. I know y'all keep.
I'm talking about from the eye test. If you look at him, there's nobody that ever played quarterback better than Patrick Mahomes. So, if it come down to it and I'm playing the best team ever, I still give the best player ever a chance.
I give him a chance, but like we said, we're speaking hypotheticals. If it comes down to one drive, Patrick Mahomes, I get it. But I don't think it's going to come down to one drive.
What's your score? So, are you going to be a blowout?
31-21 Eagles. And I'm not backing down all year.
Chilton, if we do that, nigga, I'll buy you a fucking drink. That shit is crazy.
Bingo.
I know y'all laughing. I know y'all, but I could see it happening.
I'm laughing only because I've never seen Sheldon double. You know, he always be all the.
I ain't back down all year.
This nigga said he said a 10-point lead. He making it seem
the
like
scariest that. Thing. The scariest thing to me is if I'm a fan. The scariest thing to me is I don't know what way I would want the game to go. Like, I'm scared of Mahomes feeling free and just being. You know, if we're up like 17-3 or something at half. I'm scared of Mahomes just being like, I ain't got nothing to lose. Let me just let some passes rip that I wouldn't let it rip and him playing free. Or do I want us tied up in like a grudge match? Who's going to blink first twice type of heavyweight bout?
But I would lean with the greatest. Again, just because we saying he's the best doesn't mean he can't lose. That's all I'm trying to say. And that's two, I would say it's a black Super Bowl. So it don't matter to me. And two, perfect. I'm saying that even if Patrick Mahomes does play free, like you're saying, Q, I don't trust Xavier Worthy. Still, Ken. You know what I'm saying? It's like, because Q told me last week that wasn't even a catch. You know what I'm saying?
I have no opinion about it.
I said
it was contested on both sides. Everybody said it was or was.
All I'm saying is that even when you compare the weapons, it's like, I'm saying you asking how I give you Juju proving that he can do something in Super Bowl, and of course Kelsey. I'm just saying, but like Hollywood Brown, you trusted him to catch a major or make a major play?
Andy
Reid puts him in that position to go make the play.
You think Xavier Worthy gonna beat coverage like that? No.
Yes, bro. All I'm saying, bro. Jaden Daniels. I really want to go back. The reason why I feel like Patrick Mahomes is just the guy to do this, and it pains me to say it because it just looks like we should demolish this fucking team. But it's just the QB and the coaching staff of the Chiefs that is just it puts fear into my heart, bro. I'm not even gonna lie to you because the Commanders, when it was 23-34, they were driving. And they just turned the fucking ball over, right?
But that's the thing about
that. And that's with a rookie. And he was finding Zach Ertz in the soft zone. And Zach Ertz was killing us all game. So if I believe Travis Kelce is a better player, and if I believe that there's a better offensive mind on the that side of the field, I just think it's going to be really close until the last second. And that's just the separation is Mahomes got the ball with 58 seconds. He need to get a field goal. He need to get a touchdown. And that's just the deciding game, bro. And adding all the dumb shit that's going to happen. But regardless, the player is the player, bro.
We've seen I could understand if y'all was saying that, Pat, like, Ken, if Patty was undefeated in the Super Bowl, I would be betting heavy on Kansas City. But I've seen him lose
to, though. He lost to his goal.
No, he didn't. He lost.
They just turned the ball over. They lost to the goal. The Raiders didn't just turn that ball over. The Eagles took that ball.
We did
take him. You got to get him credit for what they do.
Go back to what Nick
said. They took it from in the last game they played the Eagles. I mean, the Chiefs, they took it from Travis Kelce.
I agree, Sheldon. But I think that when you're a different pedigree, when your pedigree is championships and championship or bust is what the Chiefs they have on their bulletin board every year at the beginning of the season, right? OTAs, hey, we're building for a championship. The Commanders, they weren't supposed to be there. So the fact that they were undisciplined and got out of their own, you know, got out of their body a little bit, that's kind of the testament to their youth and their inexperience. I don't know, and I'll be shocked, and I'll be rooting for it. But I'll be shocked if the Chiefs get the balls punched out of them. Like that's a little bit that would be uncharacteristic to me.
A championship team. That's not going to happen. You're absolutely right, Q. I think going back to what you said in the sense of well, never mind, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Look, I would love to see a three-peat. I think that would be wonderful to watch history like that. I think it would be dope. It's just I've searched up and down. I just can't find it. I've looked to find like how can they win this game? In what way can they win this game against the quality of talent and cohesiveness and with ground Pat control Mahomes, that they that's have? The thing.
That's how they win.
The biggest
they
thing
have
you
Patrick
said,
Mahomes to Andy Reid.
The cohesiveness, and you're right. They do have Patrick Mahomes, and I get it. I ain't tripping off nobody saying that. I just think that the Eagles are focused, and they're coming in here with one thing on their mind. They've been saying it all year. Every time they ask them the question, if you watch them, they're telling you the same thing. Work's not done. They even on the stand, they were saying the work's not done. They've been saying it the whole time. This has been bulletin board material all year. This has been the point that they've been trying to get to. You got a bunch of people playing for more than just, you know, you got Josh Sweat and a couple other players that are paying for contracts, Zach Bond, Mekhi Becton, a lot of these guys got stuff to play for. They're not just here. And these guys were crying because they were here. Not crying like, oh, we made it to the championship. They're crying like genuinely like, man, I got a shot. You know what I'm saying? And I think that you see a focused team that's focused from top to bottom. I'm not just talking about, you know, they've been seeing all the talk all year. They've been hearing it. They've been paying attention. And I'm talking about from Nick Sirianni on down. So I just think that you got a team that is prepared for destiny. No. I'm not on that part, Luke. That part I'm just speaking for what I'm watching.
No, this is gonna be a classic. Like it's gonna be a classic game. I got a feeling about that. Like this is gonna be a fantastic heavyweight bout. This is gonna be heavyweight on heavyweight. This is gonna be prime time. This is gonna be everything. You know what I'm saying?
I'm only laughing with because Lou, you an asshole. He over here speaking for the hearts of
you. Know right I'm now. Telling the truth, like this nigga telling
Lou
like, you. Cut him like the
Lou cut him at the knee. Lou cut him
Lou just mad, like, man. Lou just mad at me right
sound
now.
Sound like a goofy nigga.
Mike ain't got much to be looking forward to this year. Don't.
Shelton's right, both, but I think the Eagles would be just as focused. So I think in terms of mission focus, both teams will be mission focused. The Chiefs want this three-peat. So I think they'll cancel each other out there. And that's where I go to talent.
Talent, yeah.
And that's where you start to see some separation, bro.
It's going
to
be an O-line. We have the decided advantage at running back. I would say wide receivers, O-line. Definitely. I think D-line is better.
Everywhere except for the best, the most important position.
And coach. Quarterback and coach.
And that's where it's like head over heart for me, bro.
Ask your three questions, Nick. Who got the better quarterback? who got the better coach and whatever the third one is, nigga. I don't even care.
You don't even remember the third one, do you?
The third one is defense. The third one is usually defense, but you can't really say that in this thing. So that's why I'm just saying, like, again, bro, they got the Avengers, bro, and you just got Thanos.
Don't matter.
You know what I'm saying? And we seen how that ended, though.
Yeah.
Now that we've talked this out, I am even more excited to see the Super Bowl because I do think that everything that I've been saying about Patrick Mahomes.
What you mean, bro?
Because
you should have been.
I think a lot of people are thinking the way that y'all are thinking. The Eagles have the better team. They got Saquon Barkley. They've been playing well lately, and they forgetting that Patrick Mahomes is that nigga.
No,
like he's not gonna play. He's not gonna play with y'all,
Shelton, he got it. Shelton, he got it all wrong. It's not even that. We got Kendrick Lamar playing at the halftime show to double down on Drake's grave. And on top of that, Lou, he throwing in Scissor's ass for as icing on the cake.
And this has been awesome. Hey, look, and I don't know about y'all, but my favorite part of Super Bowl week has been Jameis Winston and his interviews and him talking. I done had a good time watching James. He been crazy, but it's funny.
That Kraft commercial was crazy, bro. I can't believe he did that shit.
I don't even want to see that.
All right, bro. So before we get out of here, Nick, you wanted to double back to the Myles Garrett trade.
Yeah. Well, he didn't even he wrote a 4-page letter, Aaliyah style, saying, "Get me the fuck up out of here." That shit was funny as hell. I got a homeboy in our fantasy football chat. He's from Cleveland. He diehard Cleveland fan, reps for the Cavs, everybody, you know what I'm saying? And he always gave me his instant reactions to all the shit. And man, he's hurt. He's angry and hurt because it's like, my nigga, like, we got the number 2 overall pick. We can make some shit shake.
You stop.
But he's also hurt that he understands why he wants to leave.
Yeah. What? They blaming Deshaun, too. Everybody blaming Deshaun wholeheartedly in Cleveland.
It's that contract. It pigeonholed them. Now, if Deshaun would have came out there and balled out, you know, that's a whole different conversation. But the fact that he has been arguably the worst signing in NFL history.
Yes.
And then they still owe, like, if they were to cut him 170 plus million at dead cash, you can't do it. So my thing is this with the Cleveland Browns, blow it up. You know what I'm saying? You already got the number 2 pick. You can go get another top 10 pick in this draft and in future drafts by letting go of Myles Garrett and just reset everything. Draft the quarterback, let Deshaun go next season or the season after that. You know what I'm saying? Keep him away from the team as far away as possible. But it's restart time. Yeah, That's just what it is.
I agree with FIFO in the sense of it's restart time, but I disagree. Let Deshaun go now. I'm trading you now.
Trade.
I'll take Cam Ward with that second pick and whatever picks that I can get with Myles Garrett in this draft to make me better immediately. I'm going to do that.
I thought you was going to say you'll take him in Dallas because that's what I'm used to hearing you say about
that. No, we can't afford him.
I mean, we'll take him in Philly this offseason.
Y'all can afford him, y'all cheating. That's
we got him. How we got it?
Yes, cheating. The same with Ken. I don't know if you was gonna mention Cooper Kupp, but they're saying that they even pick up a heavy portion of that contract to get him up out of there.
Why does Cooper Kupp pick somebody about a trade draft capital? Hey,
we'll take him in Dallas today.
Y'all
they want him gone.
I think he's worth a fourth. Yeah, I think he's worth a third or a fourth.
I think he's worth a fifth. He has not been healthy the last 3 seasons. And I'm sorry, man. I'm being biased to Black History Month. He's a white wide receiver. He's a white wide receiver, dude. Like, those guys age like I'm not.
And on top of that, Q, I'm saying, like, it's a fifth as far as, like, we talking about a bottle. I ain't giving no picks up for that nigga. Q couldn't even say white wide receiver during Black History.
Hey, man, it's like, come on, bro. Like,
what are we talking about?
Nick, I'm surprised you had him on your list. You had Zach Allen.
I'll read these super chats, but I just want to point out that Tucker's case has been
weird case.
Oddly undercovered.
No, no, no. They talked about it on.
They're not. You know what I'm saying?
Not enough. Not enough.
Why is
they destroyed Watson? And I'm not defending Watson.
To push back a little bit. Watson is a quarterback. Tucker is like a kicker.
Okay, so clearly, kickers, bro. So clearly here in the sports world, there is a ring of rub and tugs that dudes just be going to. Let's just be honest here, bro. It just seems like whenever somebody's in some money trouble or organizations don't want to pay niggas, they pull your dirt up and be like, all right, let's get some of the girls from the rub and tugs, some of the IG models, and now it's like, all right, get him out of here. He's not. I'm just saying, bro. Robert Kraft, Deshaun Watson. There's a deeper, darker criminal link. Yeah. And I'm buying that bullshit about it. It's just coincidence. No, nigga, players are free. They doing some weird shit out here, bro.
No, I would say Q is like, I think it's either they've been around it so long they just think that that's just how the business goes. If you pay a little bit extra, or whatever. Because Ken Tucker should have tucked it in.
he make enough money where he could have got that off at the right places. Like, why are you trying to go to the
place? He'll make that much. He'll make that much money.
No. Make $7 million a year.
Yeah, he's the highest paid kicker ever. Hey,
bro, he got $7 million a year.
He got a $21 million contract, right?
Q. Yeah. Do these ladies not have a phone? They can look up who he is.
Yeah. All I'm saying is like, bro, it's too coincidental at this point. Like, I don't believe that these dudes are just on some, like, you know, undercover deviant shit. This just seems like they just be talking about this shit in the office. Like, hey, have you been to so-and-so? They go, that massage parlor, bro? Go and ask for
I wouldn't doubt Erica. That,
Erica's going to get you right, dude. Not.
Right.
Like, going to whip it out on her. She gonna be cool.
You feel me? Bro. Like Robert Kraft went and got Sue Young to do some crazy shit, and now we all supposed to be like,
"Oh hey. My god!" All right, man.
All I was gonna say is that masseuses got standards too. Q. They ain't just gonna tug on no kicker.
You made Justin Tugger. You feel me?
Kid clutches pearls just now.
See, Ken, I ain't bullshitting. Like, there's too many players at this point, bro. This shit is an open season. There is a group chat. Like, there's no way.
Justin Tucker is gonna be my fantasy football day next season.
Hey, bro, we all seen that IG model who is flying around the world. She ain't got no job. She ain't got no business but a boutique. And somehow I'm getting my masseuse license. Girl, you in the same city. You in the same city, CJ Stroud. I ain't believing that bullshit. Get out of here.
Yeah. Well, he was definitely falling off last year. So
why now?
He's having withdrawals.
It brings a whole new meaning to.
He was having withdrawals, bro. He was having withdrawals, and that's why he wasn't hitting the kicks.
And his groin was sore.
Yo, come on, bro.
Hey, tweets open doors. Media talks about Spags as if his defense is unstoppable. When in reality, they gave up 29 to the Bills and 35 the last time against the Eagles. Describe how they could have trouble with Philly.
The last time he's talking about that last game.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. They did. But my thing is this though, Lou. It's just like. Spags, like that's what I'm saying. Like Spags' defense is really, I'm going to zone you up and or I'm going to blitz you. That's it. He'll do man to man every now and then, but he can't do man to man in this game. I think he'll be a fool to do that. So he's going to have to go to zone and he's going to have to just rely on the blitz. That's not enough to me for this team.
I think the thing about Spags and the reason why he's so great, because it's not about suffocating defense like the Steelers, the Steel Curtain, the Bears 4-6, or even the Ravens, the Ray Lewis and Ed Reed Ravens. It's about timeliness. When they need a play, he calls up the right play at the right time to get what they need. And it's more of a bend but don't break. They've been more dominant as they've been drafting more defensive players. But it's not about being this suffocating defense. It's about making timely plays and him making the right call. That's what it is.
That's a good point by FIFO. Like we just seen with the cornerback blitz. We all questioning why Josh Allen didn't get that out of there. He didn't see it.
You see it?
Because Spags called it perfectly, and then the guy walked down and did it, executed perfectly, boom.
And Lou, I fuck with Spags. He, you know where he from? He from, you know, the Giants. He got Eli two rings. My thing is, can everybody and their mama know about this damn blitzes? It's not like he's doing something magical, like, oh, this is something he ain't never done before.
But that's why it's timely, though. Because, right. because
it wasn't because timely. It wasn't timely. It was fourth and five. Game.
But you didn't know where it was coming from. And that's what I'm talking about, the right call at the right time, Nick. And also how they disguised it. It looked like he was just playing man-to-man. Oftentimes, defenders, when they know that their number is being called and they're the one that's going to be blitzing, they show it. They get answer whatever. This guy looked like he was just gonna drop back in coverage, and all of a sudden he came and nobody saw it coming.
Fifo, can I ask you one question? If it's fourth and five and the game is on the line, what do you think Steve Spagnuolo is gonna call?
He's blitzing. Can I say something?
But we don't know where it's coming from.
I know everybody's talking about that play, but I saw one of the offensive linemen for the game said that Spags had been dialing up that look the whole game and he was dropping back in zone. And in that particular instance, this time he came, but he had been seeing the same look. Oh. So they got confused, and that's why they slid the offensive line to the
I was with you, kid, until you said that. I was like, okay, they're gonna lose your whole argument.
so they slid the offensive line to the left. So he confused.
They slid, all right.
And the other thing is, they couldn't stop James Cook. So I was just like, I don't know how the hell they're going to stop Saquon.
Anyway, James Cook looked like Superman.
That was a good point. That was a good point, Ken. Yeah, I agree with Ken. That was a good point. Till Sheldon was being childish.
I'm sorry.
Bron going to join Curry and KD with the Warriors.
Bron going to be – I'm sorry,
bro. I heard they're trying to put the band together.
That's the thing that we didn't mention. Wait, that's the thing that we didn't mention. Y'all talking about Bron leaving L.A. Like, Bronny is still on the G League team. He ain't going nowhere. As long as he got the deal with Bron.
Hey, Lou,
as long as Bronny can play for the team, he good. He's staying there.
I'm going to let you know right now, if Bronny is the only reason why the Lakers should keep LeBron or have a chance to keep LeBron, they need to let him. He's leaving. He's leaving.
I'm the trade on.
It is. That's the only reason, bro.
And on top of that, I'll say this, bro. If Bron go to Steph, bro, I'm looking at his basketball career like a bitch ass nigga.
That's Come on, bro.
Don't even engage in this queue.
I'm throwing the papers out.
It's in the papers.
He's trying to
45. You think it's 45?
Rayshon Davis, MJ greater than LeBron.
Yes,
sir.
Rob Costa, donut shops in LA are loving this Luka trade.
The Luka special, two for one.
I would definitely.
Stuffed donuts, a little white cream inside.
Yo,
all right, come on, what are you doing?
We need to wrap this up.
We redacted, retracted, all types of shit.
That's filthy.
Probably about that one.
We them boys, Kyrie ain't no leader. He destroys locker rooms.
Okay, you ride with Nick.
And the last one, green beans. Dallas Radio gave a breakdown of the issues between GM and Luka. GM doesn't like Euros. Luka went dark on the Mavs during the offseason, then showed up overweight and injured. Other issues too expensive to type out, LOL.
This is just propaganda. I'm not buying that shit, bro.
No.
Because Zion didn't get traded yet, and that nigga is fucking porn addict. So, like, what are we over here doing, dude? Like, no, come on, bro. No, like, no, 100%. And he know he is, bro. So stop.
The real thing is Zion is the black version of Luka. that's how his career went.
And I just think that's crazy. Like Zion's doing interviews talking about how I'm an employee of the Pelicans and they won't let me play back to backs. Now I can play back to backs, but it's up to them. And if bro, I don't want to hear all this shit, but Luka's the problem. Nah, bro, you need to get Zion out of here before you get Luka out of here. If we're talking about just the order of
they
things,
they should have. I don't know why he's still on that team. That just shows you how much New Orleans need something for you to come to their arena, their city.
It's just such clear damage control from Dallas. Everyone's trying to collude now to say, all right, how are we going to make this look better in the public? Dude, just say you traded for Anthony Davis, and I would honestly just stop talking about it at this point because it's just it looks worse the way they keep talking about it. Jason Kidd didn't even know. Like, come on, bro.
He was so mad.
Jason Kidd's like, you traded away our best player for AD.
He saw his face.
Oh man,
no, but Nico Harrison said, I mean, we're gonna bury ourselves. I mean, and are they in that right, Jason? Like, no, bro, Jason is sitting there like, bro, I will literally smack the shit out of you. Bro.
Yeah, he didn't want to agree with that, and he just laughing that, like, he's looking all goofy and shit, like, yeah, bro, what man. Are you doing? Yeah,
get over there, like, okay,
man, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't with that at all. That was nothing about that he agreed with.
Nah, Cracking Joe's about to get fired, bro.
He like, bro, he said, bro, we fucking fired after this, bro. Like,
and then he said it. Then he said it. You should have saw kids' face when he said that.
Bro, I seen the two and I was like, bro, on Black History Month, bro, he about to lose it. Everybody getting their job. Like, he's not setting a good representation of Black GMs. This has been a bad show. This has been a bad year for Black GMs from the Falcons.
Nigga, compare the white man and get a Black man, and that's bad in Black history.
I didn't say he had to be white. He could be Hispanic. FIFO, I like black and brown relations need to be better too. Shit.
Yeah, I respect that.
All right, man. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll definitely be back next Tuesday to recap Super Bowl 56.
59.
It's 59?
Yes, 59. I meant to say that earlier.
Yeah, y'all should. Yeah, shit. Damn. All right. Well, LIX. Damn.
The Niners are playing the Bucks.
Shit. All right, man. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.